Now, when first we spoke to Derek Cawley, spinal surgeon from the Mater Hospital last month, we were inundated with questions from listeners and we didn't get time to get some. So we said we'd have Derek back on, and we're people of our word. So good afternoon, Derek Cawley.
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Not too bad. There's a little bit of a gap there, but we'll see how we go with it. So just to remind people about working from home and what you told us last time you were on, it's all about moving.
Hey, that's right. So the survey that we did showed that a lot of people are presenting with neck pain, back pain, and a lot of it is due to the fact that they're sitting down all day, they're not exercising and they're not stretching. So, for example, where previously we at least we had a commute or the stairs or the water cooler or the photocopier or whatever we did during work, now a significant proportion of people are working from home and they are...
They're not moving around.
Correct. Particularly the hip joints, the hip muscles, because therefore they're straining their back then when they do move. So I see a lot of that, particularly then when those people try to go walking or running. And I suppose running is something that I guess a significant number of people enjoy running. I do see patients with low back pain when trying to run, particularly after a period of inactivity, and why that can happen. You know, that's something that's very important, especially where they're trying to get in shape after not running for a while, and perhaps their hip muscles are a little bit weak and stiff.
I do my stretch exercises after running. You'll be glad to hear, Derek.
I'm glad to hear that, Ray. That's good.
It's boring as hell. We discussed this the last time. Stretching is boring, but you know you have to do it. And I suppose the older you get, the more important it is. So I do it. It's not something like I look forward to, but I do it every morning, and it's paid off because the hips are great. There's no creakiness or pain or anything, so it's obviously working. Now you were watching Operation Transformation, and something you want to draw to our attention is about back pain. Go on.
That's right. And the prevalence of low back pain in the obese population is significantly higher than the non-obese population. So up to 30% of people carrying extra weight at any one time are experiencing low back pain, Ray. And the first thing I would say is that while carrying excess weight is a significant risk factor for low back pain, that doesn't necessarily mean that the first thing you do is tell that person to lose weight, because that's very hard. It's very difficult to try and lose weight in the presence of low back pain. So I guess as a society, we have to be kinder to these people and recognize what they're going through in terms of emotionally and physically, and in terms of the pain experience that they may have. So it's all about getting a system going of pain-free exercises and recognizing why it causes pain. So obviously, if you're carrying extra weight, the joints, the discs, etc., they're all doing a harder job and therefore more likely to experience pain. So there's a biomechanical part, and then there's the kind of the newer science in this stuff also. There's the biochemical stuff that we don't really understand. And it's basically where the higher amount of fat cells contain more pro-inflammatory hormones. So the body's in more of a, we'll say, experiences more pain because there's more inflammation in the system, you know?
Wow, I've never heard that before.
If you look at these guys, yeah, absolutely. It's a fascinating new area looking at the hormones from the fat cells can do. It's not just about a case of carrying extra weight and the biomechanical effects. It's the biochemical. But also, Ray, if you look at people like Brian O'Driscoll or Tony McCoy or any of our, we'll say, elite athletes whose joints are probably in bits, they have very low levels of pain because of the fact that they've had a high level of exercise for most of their lives. And therefore, exercise is a very good way of counteracting the pro-inflammatory problems from obesity. So exercise, therefore, has an anti-inflammatory effect on the body because it excretes a higher level of cortisol that dampens down that pain response.
Okay, so what do people do then if they want to lose weight and they're experiencing lower back pain and you don't suggest they run? What do they do? What's the ideal exercise for them?
Right. So first of all, the stretches on the ground. Start on the ground in terms of stretches and in terms of bridging the pelvis. So by that I mean lifting the pelvis off the ground and holding it. And the way I do it, Ray, is I split it into two. You got your stretches and you got your strengthening exercises. And it's going to be a combination of both. And the key thing is to start in a place of comfort. Okay, so that's the first thing. And obviously, looking for exercises, anybody can download it from the web. But in order to get proper supervision, there would be certainly, they would benefit from attending a physiotherapist or some sports therapist, etc., to kind of help them along the way with that.
Okay.
In terms of an exercise, it's hard to tell a person go out walking or running, because oftentimes that's when their pain gets worse. And I would always recommend the exercise bike for a person like that. Now, it's very important to recognize there's two types of exercise bike, Ray, and we're very familiar with the one with the saddle, and that's not the one for someone with a bad back. Okay. The exercise bike for a person with low back pain, with obesity in particular, is the recumbent one. It's the one with the chair and the handles on either sides of the chair. So in a lot of gyms, not that we go to them anymore, of course, but what happens is you'll see two different types of bikes. And if you've got one with a saddle and you're carrying extra weight and you want to do that a little bit more, I'd say put it on Dundee or something like that and buy the one with the chair instead.
Right, okay. Good advice, good advice. Just before we get to our listeners' queries, just while we have you on, Tiger Woods and his back. That's an ongoing problem for him. What do you know as an expert? Are you interested in Tiger Woods' back at all?
So, Ray, I think this is a really good story to illustrate what the actual disc does for any of our backs. Okay, so the disc is commonly known as a shock absorber in the back. Okay, but it does a much more important job than that as well. It acts as what's known as an energy converter. So it allows us to rotate our spine. And if you think of the spine as a chain, okay. And you can wind up that chain, and no better way to express the power and the torque of unwinding that spring or unwinding that coil than the way Tiger can drive a ball. OK, so you rotate the spine around in a backswing, the farther and better you can counter rotate, you can drive the ball farther. So the disc acts. Exactly. So the disc actually, the fibers in the disc are pointed in such a way that you can use them all together as a spring that you can wind up and unwind to unleash that energy. And the problem is, of course, that you push that too far and you're going to bust one of those discs. And that's what he did at the bottom of his back. And we all know that he had major spine surgery and he returned to winning the Masters in 2017, was it? But what he had done, he had a couple of discectomies, which, you know, kind of kept him there or thereabouts. But ultimately, he needed a spinal fusion. And the procedure he had done was where they fused him through the abdomen. It went in through the front of his tummy and fused the spine from the front. Now, I like this procedure a lot because patients experience that they've less pain after surgery, they've less muscle dissection, and it's really good for correcting their posture. So the anterior lumbar fusion is a really good one to do. And he did well from that. But of course, the problem was that then he wore out the level above it. And then, of course, he crashed his car and the rest is history.
Is he gone for good now, do you think?
Well, knowing Tiger, I'd say he's the kind of guy who has the mental strength to still demonstrate to himself that he can return. Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me. Now, while he should cash in and relax and enjoy life like anybody, I suspect he'll be back.
He's unlikely to do that. Now, Derek, every time I hoover the house, I get bad lower back pain the next day. It lasts for 2 to 3 days, but then goes. What can I do to stop this?
Right. Well, I guess the activity of hoovering the house is what is the likely cause? The likely cause is that they have irritated the joints in the bottom of the back, Ray.
Right.
And there's a bit too much, lifting outside of their comfort zone. And the best way to deal with that is to stretch it out. The anti-inflammatories are the only medication proven to help in that case. And to use non-medical measures, massage, rollerball, hot water bottle, a glass of red wine, 2 weeks in Lanzarote, whatever helps to just ease that back.
Right. Could you ask the doctor what's the best thing for lower back pain due to bulging discs on a nerve?
Great question. Yeah, absolutely. So the key thing, first of all, is it's like grey hair and wrinkles. That doesn't necessarily mean that there is a problem in the back. And a bulging disc is only relevant if there is associated leg pain. Because if you've got the if you've got bad leg pain, or what's known as sciatica, that means that that bulge is causing nerve compression. Okay, so if it's not causing leg pain and nerve compression, then it doesn't matter if you've got a bulging disc in your lower back. And you could apply the same principle to the neck and arm pain.
Right. Okay, but how do you fix it? You just let it go, dear.
Well, how do you fix grey hair and wrinkles? I mean, you as long as you're alive and healthy and walking and relatively pain-free, then you're not doing too bad.
I like your style. I like your attitude. Okay, I have a pain in my lower back which comes and goes over the course of a week. When should I go to see my GP about back pain? How long should I wait? Hugh wants
so
to know.
So when they say over the course of a week, that's the natural history, i.e. if it's left untreated, that will settle down. And it's good to coordinate the GP in terms of awareness, in terms of going through any symptoms that might be worrisome, and coordinate treatment with a therapist such as a physiotherapist, manual therapist, etc. Yeah. And work on posture, work on alignment, work on movement. Typically, they say that up to 25% of people have pain that goes on for more than 3 months. OK, so we used to call it chronic low back pain. It's now more politically correct to call it persistent low back pain. Right. And that's outside of the natural history.
Why can't you use the word chronic? Why can't you use the word chronic?
I think because, well, the Irish person uses chronic as in it's terrible, as yes. opposed to going on for a long time. Whereas yes. the British, I think, have kind of updated their guidelines on this, and they just want to call it something that's less toxic. I think that's where
persistent.
It's coming from.
So, right, it's persistent as opposed to chronic.
Exactly. That's it.
You learn something new every day.
There you go.
Poor chronic has been elbowed out of our vocabulary.
But anyway, that person should probably seek the advice of a physio or a GP and get an exercise program and medical and non-medical measures.
Stretchercise. I'm going to launch a website called stretchercise.ie.
Absolutely. Stretches are great.
You and me, Derek, we can do it together. Put up videos.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks very much. That's
all
Derek
right,
Cawley there, spine surgeon at the Mater Private Hospital. We will have Derek on again. Anish Tosh, and now the Freep Skeleton, and Oakta, Le Cotta Wallish.